Assembly.
Watch your TV
without listening to any outdoor noises. And I was like, these environments where things aren't challenged, then it doesn't allow for people to actually have these debates. And how powerful it is that when someone confronts someone else in a public manner with a different opinion, that that conversation can be heard. Whereas if you deny that from happening, or maybe more than conversation or debate, if you deny that from happening, it just secludes these people into like their own circles and segregates them into like their own little pockets of what's it called, the Facebook. Also, like this idea that infinity presents a loop that's impossible to close. And the way that technology and a lot of what we're exposed to on a daily basis revolves around closing loops. So for example, like, you know, if you get Facebook and you have this notification with a number on it, the way to close that loop is to click on it and then you've seen it and then it disappears and it's like, okay, task accomplished. Or like the Fitbit, you know, you've got like a wheel with how many steps you should be doing, and then once you complete it, you get, you know, like shaken a bit, you receive a little vibration, and it's like, well done, like you're actually, yeah, and you're being treated like almost like an animal, in the most pure sense, like that's what you do to a dog, you reward him when like how we've created these settings which enforce us to fulfill these loops, not necessarily taking into consideration like our well-being, because none of these uses of technology reinforce health or well-being.
No.
It's just like an addictive, it literally recreates the same same process in the brain as an addiction to a substance. Like the idea of an open loop, in contrast with, you know, our society that's constantly trying to close loops like quickly. And the main challenges that we have as like a species are these like open loops that we just don't know how to solve. Like, I'm very happy to sit in that in between of not knowing. I think that's where it's really interesting and be like, oh, maybe this or maybe that. And that openness of possibilities. But then, you know, does, I guess, what's the role of a discipline when it negates everything else by reassuring and a lot of how science began claiming its knowledge followed a very similar path as religion did when they were going, you know, the conquistadors like going abroad, getting rid of any sort of religion there and, you know, installing their own. Like, I just wonder if maybe on a non-human level with science, like explorers would just go abroad, sweep wherever they were at of their natural resources, bring it back and then say, look what we've discovered. I think there is something quite incredible about seeing something become something else. Like just by, especially by using or exerting a force that you can't see. So it's like magic in its pure state. And I think that's something interesting about recognizing when you're making art. Like the idea of you talking about things that aren't finite through a finite medium.
Yeah.
Or a finite means, I guess. And choosing what stays and what doesn't, and what, you know, and how that narrative comes through. Because I'm really interested in this idea of ecology, of weather, of climate, like these, again, situations where you're presented with or scenarios or things that are beyond our time scale and what we know now of the past is based on what we've been able to develop in terms of tools, right, and equipment or instruments. And I think what I find really interesting is being presented with, It's almost like a riddle that has no answer. Because you get to see, like, you go through every possible way of presenting something about something that you don't really know, like, what it is at the end of the day. Like, when you think of climate change, what face does that have? Because it's hardly going to be plastic in the ocean. You know, that's been, we've tried that, and it's not getting us anywhere. It's not going to be, like, rising temperatures or sea levels, because, again, like, tried that. It's not getting to the public. So I guess, yeah, I don't know. I think there's something. So people are, you know, effectively running out of drinking water. And it's like creating this pressure where you like suddenly start to feel like, fuck, the world's coming to an end. But I can still do whatever I want. Like, I can go out tonight and something happens. So it creates like this disconnect between what we're being told is happening and what is actually, or what we can live as a lived experience. And I think that's what's really interesting about making work now, is that we're able to reflect on data and statistics from, you know, that present past climates, current climates, and maybe future ones. And we have to constantly juxtapose that with the reality that we're living. But when you compare, like, the UK and India, it's a very different way of understanding the weather. So, and I think that's very clear in how, you know, this recent trend of, like, naming weather systems. So the idea that, what's her name, Storm Emma comes and then she leaves, you know, so Emma is born and then Emma dies, and then, what was it, the beast from the east comes and then he dies. And actually, in other parts of the world, it's seen as a, like, as a system that doesn't, like, it's not born and then dies off. It just increases and decreases in intensity and it moves away. So this, I think, with how we depict our environment as well, we're at risk of seeing it as a finite thing and not understanding that, you know, the rain doesn't start and end. It's not that it's stopped, it's that something else is happening. And that kind of change, or that way of morphing into something else, is maybe something that alchemy had a lot in mind, right? Like, this idea that things don't start and finish and then disappear until next week, when I heard this woman today on the news saying, like, it'll die off and we'll come back and we'll build our town again, because it was a beautiful town. And you just think, but if you build it again, like, it is just gonna, like, eventually, it is just gonna, like, this isn't something that's going away. And there's a lot of talk about investing to come up with solutions regarding climate change. And people are like, we've discovered a rock that is in China, right? Like, thousands of meters inside Earth. And it actually absorbs CO2. And people are like, this is it. Like, we found it. This is the solution. And you just kind of think, like, we're literally thinking that some new techno discovery code for a whole range of others.
And the similarities between that Brexit and the first year of the Dark Arts, there's some...
Sugar was the new response to treat essentially hunger. And it keeps people full for longer. It keeps them functioning for longer, albeit sicker than if they were to die at an earlier age. And costing also being really expensive to treat. Like, the problem hasn't been solved. It's been shifted. It's a lot more complex now. But at least we can say that we're not. You know, no one's dying from hunger. So we're living longer than ever before. We've got a longer, life expectancy. So in some ways we're, not exactly, but, brushing on eternity, right? This idea of living forever. But then how are our social structures coping with that? Like, Spain's a country that there's loads of people that are retiring now who are 65. There's more, Spain's a country of old people.
Well, maybe the only way, or maybe a way around that is if a lot of people that do decide to make that move have a level of understanding or some sort of qualification in things like law and architecture. So when people try to take over, then they can't, because they're clued up on that. Yeah, eventually the trigger comes and it gets pulled. Yeah. I mean, I know Lucian does the area of Broccoli called Walter's Way, where people live in self-built houses, and the houses they built themselves, and they had to fight tooth and nail for that. A guy called Walter Siebel, like a German architect, pioneered this method that we've got. Yeah, Lucian's got all kinds of. I mean, apart from this, it used to be a place of huge amount of squatting, and the Battle of Lucian in 1977, when fascists tried to march, a huge march came up to counteract that march. And then there's the riots in 1981. I've always thought of it as a bubble, kind of. Not a bubble, but kind of shallow waves. How long that's going to be like that, because of...
I think there's a fixation with birthing things or starting things.
Yeah.
And there isn't one with, almost developing things in depth.
Bias.
Yeah, it's almost like everything, because it's made it hit even more home that, because for a while, maybe I've just been in denial of that whole sort of, inventions and even art, being able to live outside of it, but then at the same time, I've been listening to TV on the radio all this time. Kip Malone's been saying all these years that everything's political.
Mm.
Fela Kuti's been saying all these years that everything's political. Why has it taken all of this shit to happen for me to kind of remind myself of that, even when I don't want it?
Yeah.
And I guess it's just because, it's the whole sort of, idealisation of me being an idealist of art, being able to, permeate through that. I don't know. I've been wrestling with that. I've been just being so ambivalent towards that. Is art, can art exist without that, Or can art bypass that, rather, not exist for that, but bypass that? Then at the same time, it's like, I don't live in a vacuum as well. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No,
I was thinking about it a lot yesterday, actually.
You manifest what you want to happen. And they were saying that they did this study with some people where they were told to, manifest their affirmations and imagine what it felt like to accomplish their goal, what they wanted. So imagine, for some people it was I want to own a house, and they would just imagine it them own the house. And they were saying that whilst the study found that whilst like positive affirmations were being circulated as the way to do better in life, her brain had essentially taken those positive affirmations in that way and had essentially processed it so as to be that we already own the house. Your brain essentially processes that if you picturing yourself with that and what you'd be able to do with it, it creates a feeling of happiness like you've already got it. So it doesn't create in your brain or psychologically, it doesn't create the need to pursue it because you've already felt the rush of accomplishing it.
Because of work, this job, man. I don't have to do all these things anymore. I can't watch every day struggle even though I ain't on it anymore.
Okay, so
watch it every day.
Like the loop and how these, you know, you imagining what having someone else's life would be is a way of closing the loop because it gets rid of so many variables that make it an open-ended situation and it closes it. And so it's almost like a way of negating these endless ways of experiencing or of navigating life. And even reliving, you know, we were talking before about trauma and now about like taking sources of when you're younger as an inspiration. I think there are ways of almost like creating an alternate loop of saying, this is what I lived it like, but wouldn't it be better if I lived it like this? And then, you know, and you create like these situations that you can fully control. And it creates again the idea of like a closed environment, a sphere where you decide.
Yeah, I deactivate for the millionth time.
Deactivate.
Because I feel, when it reaches to that level where I feel it's taking over too much of that, then I shut it down so I can remember that I'm here.
And the sad, I think another sad
thing about it is that, like, it just, you think in an age of information in the internet, a long time ago, people would have, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't have anticipated, but that's the very thing that's helped to, you know, make this isolation of fear happen. Aside from old media like newspapers and stuff, like I feel like the internet has aided in facilitating, it's aided in that. I didn't realise that that's exactly what I've been kind of, well, it's one of the things I've been kind of worrying about, just living in it. It's like, it gases business that's sort of, I don't know, just aura of people feeling like gassed and hyped up, like, oh, I've got to make it sort of thing, and you know, oh, I know that I'm the person, I'm that person, but I haven't reached it yet. Appreciation of not knowing.
Yeah.
Just not knowing. And that way, you know, all sorts of surprises can come, regardless of it being bad or good. You know. Adding unnecessary high rises to make them feel like they're in New York or something.
Like, yeah, New York, man. It's not gonna happen.
I know it's your fuck's sake, man. Just let the shopping centre look like it looks.
It could be maybe that you can just say, look, everything is so saturated and so explained to you that there's nothing left to discover, you know. So essentially, the cynicism becomes as a response, you know. So everybody's like, okay, so this is the way the world works, you know, this is the way the world is calculated, this is the way the world is being portrayed to you, so there's no it's exactly that point, you know, when absolutely everything within the realm of your opportunities as a young person that tried to establish a career, a life, prosperity, whatever, as a person who is a millennium that is being brought up with the fact of there is no future for you, there is no possibility for you to own a property, there's no possibility for you to actually have a pension, whatever, all of those things that has been built up in the past for people of parents, whatever, that all of they hold those kind of pillars of how the society is structured. And then what happens is that now we have none of that in the near future, or even to build up, like. So essentially, any kind of possibility, that this optimism turns into cynicism just for the sake of, well, you know, whatever revolution will happen, it will always be the same. Whatever kind of movement will happen, whatever kind of anything will happen, it will just be the same. We cannot really fight for anything anymore. It's a deadlock. It's a generation that essentially has no prosperity, no future, no possibility, and that's the cynicism. At the same time, like all of those things, you know, like how we have no possibilities, no future, whatever, is then just beautifully finished with this scientific and then analytic deadlock. Study and actually predicted you're all fucked, you know. Well, no, I don't think it's a comfort. I think it's like it's another way to just enable and just keep perpetuating the enabling of the cynicism in itself. There's no alternative to come.
My mom used to joke around saying that I'll be the mayor of the ocean when I was a teenager, so it's gone around all the time. But then I don't know what happened. I think I found out how to play an instrument.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, isn't it? and a dose of Full Mitchell for the working class.
A beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful American democratic regime.
No, it's not even free.
Yeah, it's terrible. You don't really have, like... That is a heartbreaking
story. The idea of, like, really understanding something, you've got to go back to the beginning of it. Like, I wonder if the same can be applied with music in the form of it being live as opposed to listening to it on record. Because now, I mean, live music's definitely existed longer than recorded music. And because of the availability of recorded music, maybe it's emphasised the importance of, you know, experiencing, listening and seeing music in person. And I don't know, it's almost like a full circle kind of thing.
Sit here collectively, we're five of us. Yeah. Can we calculate the, you know, how do you calculate the stability of the skyscraper so it doesn't sell?
Wait, is that intelligence or is that just...
It's intelligence.
That's efficiency.
But efficiency is a... Or...
Well, that's not what we're talking about.
The moment...
A proper server.
these feelings, I try to apply the way I've saw pain and its mechanics into feelings of anxiety, of depression, depression, and it's really helped me get through it, past that point.
Yeah, we're a bunch of hypocrites, man. Yep.
But it's like, it's just one thing about, like, it's yes, okay, if any kind of mechanical structure, in any kind of sense, whatever, would have this confrontation of feeling
the sensory
would be conditioned to whatever you
portray. You've been kicked in the balls.
And it's so weird because the instruction was to copy this pose. So I wanted to obviously reference the painting, obviously, because I could have just the selfies themselves, and that would be the project. But being on top of the painting was obviously for the comparison, and I just kind of like there would be like really crisp, even though they're old paintings, really crisp high res images with these like crisp, almost cartoonish lines, and then you get these pixels next to that. A lot of the lessons I learned from that was just from like other what the people were saying. So like,
just because it can, you know, something else can come up, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then that's neither negative or positive either. You know? Yeah. It's just it's a lot more arbitrary than we like to.
Picture, but so the product was really more about the behavior than the sort of final image itself. I can't imagine what that would even look like. Like how we would even. So that guy's like choking. So destructive. I don't know what that would even look like, because. Because for me, all representation is like the story behind it. So I guess in that sense, part of me does regret that part of the project, because, but the reason why it's superficial is because I think a lot of people need proof. Does that make any sense? Am I making sense? So you can't just, especially in art, you can't just say something and say you're helping this and say you're exploring this and say you're investigating this, but then it doesn't follow through. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but like it will always be kind of superficial, and like I think it will be a very long time before we get to the point where we're not just like
self-acceptance.
But no one really knew who I was, and so there was a lot, and then there was also discussion of like copyright as well as like how what makes this a new image just because you slapped another one on top of it, and if you're scrolling, you're seeing other people's pictures from other people, they reblogged it. And there would often be like a really funny thing on the dashboard where there would be an image and one next to it that looks like it was part of the same thing, but it's from two different bloggers, two different topics completely. So that's kind of what inspired that project. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Like literally, there was no theory behind it until it was like a crowdsourced explanation for the course. Like some people are like, oh, do you think this project represents? I'm like, I guess so, if you think that. Well, that's why sex workers are not respected, because they're just like, oh, why are you hiding if you're proud? It's like, oh my god.
That's a really good sense of your culture as well. It's like, you don't have to.
Yeah, so why wouldn't the government look at everything you're doing? You don't have anything to hide. It's like, whoa. Like, it's such a weird thing to... It's like, oh, you hate your life. Why wouldn't I murder you? It's kind of like such a weird... Nobody wants to be like, oh, that's so bad, but didn't his hair look so funny? Like, even from the trial of Brett Kavanaugh, for me, I found out more about it from, like, the memes people were making about it, like, the way he was crying, Alyssa Milano sat at the back looking like she's casting a spell, and, like, that all exists, you're right, like, next to serious discussions about what he did, if it was a crime.
Conversations between a printer and a scanner about a piece of paper, and it was quite a simple project. I was looking at domestic photographic printers. I'd start off with a blank piece of paper and scan that piece of paper, then print the file back onto itself to create this feedback loop, which is almost like a visualization of the algorithmic processes the printer and the scanner, and how they decide how to record and then the output of the information. So you get these really beautiful, almost artifacts of that process, and they're very painterly, but you get like layers and layers of glitches.
I read this thing about why content makers are finding it so hard. It's because everything is so considered, their whole life is content. There's YouTube families who no one believes if they're a real family because they make so much money. The daughter is adorable and cute, and the husband is amazing. The wife is seemingly forever pregnant and she's beautiful. They live in this pool, and their daughter says just the right funny things on camera, on cue. She's never crying, she's never sad on camera. Like, that whole thing of, like, having to be... You take the idea so cameras would exist, and then somebody would contentify it and make it like, oh, we're going to do this, but it's going to be, like, the life of the artist and the art. That if you make art in today's Instagram-y content world, you have to be photogenic, you have to be... You can't just make art and get away with it. You have to like, oh, what's your content? What is it? Like, are you doing a vlog or a blog? Are you a blogger? Or like, it's like, no, I just paint in my room. And everyone's like, what? Authentic, but I don't think people care. Like, no, people just care as like, if it's good content or if it's like a good piece of media. Like, no one cares about like if you're authentic. Like, there's AI models now. I just read Lil Michaela. Have you heard of her? She is she's like a robot girl. But she's not actually a robot though, because she's not like bloop bloop down the street. She's just like a graphic designer just like created her. And I also find it so strange that in this post authentic world where no one really cares if it's authentic, it just has to look authentic, and that's enough for us. No one's like gonna be like, no, this isn't real. I don't want to watch this. No, this is nice and shiny and bright, and it's good colors, and it looks real to me. And the cameras are a bit shaky. So authentic. She's so down to earth. Like no one cares. Like, it's so funny that the Lil Michaela. There's another one as well that just became like, she's releasing her own makeup line of pixels, and it's so funny that these people, like, these are AIs, right? They can be anything and look like anything, yet they're these young, hot, slim girls, and it's like, dude, it's so funny, because it's like, why are we still creating these images? It's so weird. It's like, it's a robot. And yet, I find Lil Michaela especially funny, because somebody found like a real life model just by chance that looks like her, like just like her. So I'm wondering like what came first, if they saw her and were like, they have this infinite technology and they're just like, no, I'm not gonna make anything new. I'm just gonna create that image. I love it. I want to own it so I can control it. It's so weird. It's like, why doesn't she have green skin? And why is she overweight? And why isn't she in a wheelchair? Why is she like able-bodied 19 living in LA and is racially ambiguous? It's so weird.
always think I was just oversaturated, you know. I mean, just I felt like there was no meaning in it.
No real.
Yeah. There was no answers. And I mean, I think the future of my work is going to be more physical. I'm stripping it back on the same sort of trajectory, but. Very true. I think we had a conversation about the working class once.
Yeah.
About the myth of the working class.
Yeah.
And there's only any real stories of the working class for the last 100 years. Mm. Anything prior to that is mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's always this sort of romanticism when we talk about the working class, isn't there?
Kind of serialist painters, like 60s kind of serialist painters, process and unit and division and all these things that you're kind of working with on the computer, but they're sort of, you see them every day, so you don't really register, and are kind of locked into these frameworks you are, and then suddenly you see it in painting, you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I'm like wrestling with this box the whole time. This box, and then this box, and then it's just this kind of grid hell, basically. So it's been quite nice to not listen to music. Look at how painters wrestle with the grid, basically, from anything, perspective, dimension, time, everything to do with thinking about moving from now to the next stage a minute later. But I always look at her. I used to be really involved with her, just what she was about, because there was a huge thing that came up actually where she posted this letter that was like, I feel betrayed, I just found out I'm a robot. And I'm thinking, they haven't actually built an AI. The day this happens, cool, more power to it, where it's just like a hologram or something, or just an AI thing that just uploads its own pictures. Like, somebody's sat here and has written this narrative of this girl where she has a best friend and a frenemy and a would-be lover, and she has, a story of betrayal and hurt and pain, and she has all this stuff. And I just find it really kind of creepy that they've done this, and, I don't know, I'm just fascinated.
It's just really funny, that, because, most conversations I have with my brother is about our quirks.
And
that
is
our identity.
Yeah.
Which I love, especially talking about the Cumbrian language. But most of our time is taken up by laughing at the quirks of the Cumbrian people.
Yeah.
And there ain't many.
And there's this film with, and I was victim to this because I was like, oh yeah, that film. Yeah. I think I saw it when I was 7. And then this film does not exist with some guy who's a genie, and it's just a I could bet my house that I've seen a poster of this film. I remember that memory. I was sat in my living room in pajamas, and it was Christmas, and we were watching that film. That does not. It's so because then with all this post authentic all these images that don't really mean anything, but people. It's not even 5 years ago, people were like, oh my god, social media is bad, man. It's terrible, everything's fake. Everyone's like, we know it's fake and we like it. Leave us alone.
Yeah. My brother said to me years ago, he said, all the cogs are in place, just enjoy the ride. And it's so true, and he lives his life that way. And it's so beautiful to see that my youngest brother. Scientists are now treating aging as a disease, and they reckon that the first 1,000-year-old person has been born.
An artifact or
we need fucking crisis. It's part of us. I can't live without it. Yeah, I mean, I still went to church at 13.
Do you think there's any benefit?
I always had trouble with it. It just didn't make sense to me. I could never get away every single day. A lot, and seeing a lot of people that I really respected. And be reduced.
Even brands do this where there's a lot of like, what are they calling this, like fake nostalgia? There's a, like a marketing name for it. It's like, there's a trend that's like a, I don't even know, but there'll be a brand that will convince you that they were part of your childhood. It's like, you love old Gap. Oh, the Gap? You don't remember Gap? It's like, you probably, I don't even remember owning a pair of Gap jeans yet. There'll be adverts of like, 20 years and I'm like, you weren't a part of my life, but they tried. They're having an identity crisis. So many brands are going through this identity crisis because they really are trying to like the whole false memory thing with their images, and they're like, even if you look at like, this is just going really widescreen, like that app that was really popular this summer, Gucci, which is like, everyone's paying £700 for their phone downloading this app to make you look like you have a shitty camera. Just to be like, oh, the memories. Oh, nostalgia is it. It's like making the present feel like it's the past, so that you have brands like, who just came out with, I don't even remember, but there's been loads of like, oh, I think it was Versace that did, they brought out all their old models and like, kind of like, making this, really packaging the past up to make it feel nice, and but with new images, so it makes you feel like, oh, I was a part of that. I remember Versace. It's like, which is not possible because I was neither old enough nor rich enough to afford it, but they're like, this is a part of history. And you find yourself like feeling really emotionally connected to these images that have actually nothing to do with you. Like, I really like the present. I really like, I've never had a nostalgia like, oh, the 50s. Probably because I'm black and you can't really go further than the 80s. So like, but like a lot of people are buying, especially from marketing, they're buying the future, they're buying the past. It's like, things are okay. Like if you just, let's just see where we're at. We're just, it's, everything's moving so quickly because nobody wants to stay where they're at. Not even be like, nobody wants to admit that, like, oh, things are kind of okay. I like this art that's happening now. It's like, ugh, it's so, no, what they did back then, that old art that has nothing to do with me is the best.
When you choose to take a risk, it's because it's been previously calculated to a certain extent. Like, and that process of calculating, I'm going to try to do this. Like, I'm not saying, like, jump from here to there, but, like, I'm gonna actually take a risk in my work, and it might not pay off. If it doesn't, this is what my, like, that process of thinking is gone if you don't expose yourself to take risks. And if you're safe all the time, then that's when anxiety becomes paralyzing. So they were saying that along with that idea of you thinking of what you'd like, you also have to think of what obstacles might come through. And again, this is where risk becomes really interesting, because how do you overcome that obstacle? And then what's your plan to let go?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I like. I liked with adding these like real images of like on top of like this Venus who didn't exist, and yet she's because obviously everyone thinks of the Sandra Botticelli. There's so many. She's everywhere. She's like the it girl, but she doesn't exist. And it's like that meme I've seen where it's like, oh, women are so complicated, man. And it's like, oh no, we're here. We're real people. And it goes. Yeah, that's why I kind of like found it really interesting of like how people responded to it, like I said, like the behavior of it. I think it was like, I don't know, like they was like, oh my god, thank you for I get to be this woman, this thing. So it was like, oh, I'm so glad to be part of this project, to be this woman. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a strange thing to say, because you're a real person, and like, you are more important, which is why your picture's on top of her picture. Like, you're more important than this. And this isn't a real, I guess that's how I feel about the past, is why, like, I'm very much like a present and future kind of person. Whereas like the past just doesn't seem real to me. Because it's just like, I don't know those people. Like, I find it so strange that like, it can never really be real because if everything's based on memory, this is like getting, I'm going to try and wrap my head around this idea. If everything's based on memory and everyone who was around that painting, they're dead. And there's no one, if it was like in the 1600s, like who's around to like validate that this even happened and that this was a real person and this was why this was painted and this was, there's no, it's just like a fantasy of like, oh, wasn't it just lovely when there was actually probably just like a lot of horrible shit going on. And it was really, yeah, I found it really interesting. I feel like, I guess, oh, this is so cool. I want to be like Venus. I'm like, no. Like, you, she doesn't exist. You exist, which is the whole idea of Kangol's and the whole thing of these paintings. I just found really interesting when I was like looking through, because when I started it, I just found like just a handful of painters and like, put those up as reference material, and those are what people will copy. And then I started to research, and I was like, they're all the same. It's all the same. Even the ones that did have a story, they were like, oh, she was. They were either prostitutes or, like just like house girls. I don't know how to talk. Just like girls who run around, women who like run around. And like even when they did have like source material to reference from, like a real woman, it would still be this fantastical. It's like nobody wants to acknowledge these women. Yeah. They just want to be like, I as the man know what beauty looks like, and I'm gonna show you. Your mind's about to be blown. I'm about to paint you right now, and you're gonna be like, yes, that's what I'm supposed to look like. And when you actually look at it was actually really interesting pairing. So some of them would come already collaged, but some of them would come like I would have to pair them up, and the proportions, even though they're doing the exact same pose and stuff, like the proportions didn't match, because it's like no one's hips and waist, like that doesn't, it doesn't even match, it's not even a real person, but yet people are like, yeah, that is such a beautiful image of a woman. But even if you're a new artist or a creative or a musician, it's like, oh, he's the new X. Like, no, you can't just walk in here and be yourself. We gotta place him somewhere. Like, oh, he's the new Elvis. And like, it's so weird. But then even when they do like package the, even when they do show like the past, even with the whole bit, they're packaged so lovely. It's like, oh, this peasant girl. Like, costumes, like, how, I want to know, like, I wish I could do a project, like, how long does it take for something to become a Halloween costume? It's shorter and shorter. Yeah. And it's like, something is just like, oh, that happened 2 weeks ago, it's the past, we can move on. And it's like, but even as a black person, like, you don't get to move, they decide what you can move on from. Like, slavery and all that, get over it. Get over it, but we should never forget. it's like if the past doesn't exist, it's like it's presented to us, they can just make it anything they want, make it sentimental, it's emotional currency, so it's kind of like, you know, this is, feel sad about this because everyone else does and this is how it's presented, man, so you have to feel sad about it, even though it's like some guy that died that I don't even like, I don't even know him, like no one even, I don't even know, like what. It's like watching Vine compilations, yeah. And I've seen all of them, but there might be one I haven't seen. And there always is just like one I haven't seen. Out of the hundreds of hours, I'm like, that was worth it. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna watch another 4 hours. Like, even the things that I've posted, I'm just using Vine as a reference, becomes like a comfort. It's like nice. It's like singing along to a song. It's like, oh, I know that. I know there's like, I went through a phase of like reading the books of films I've already seen.
Yeah.
So even the experience is not even novel, it's not even new. It's literally just like, I just want to relive it in a different content form.
Well, maybe looking at painting is a way of trying to, if you take it back to the beginning, trying to reclaim some of that silence, maybe.
Yeah.
And trying to enjoy imaginatively hearing something as opposed to being fucking bombarded by it. So, like, that's why I'm really enjoying looking at painting, because I can get very excited about how I would translate a similar principle the same way I do in music or in texture or in time or something, I don't know. So, yeah, just, I don't know, just reclaiming some silence. Yeah. And actually, I can kind of draw a line between all the things that I really love. There's a kind of direct line between quite disparate records that I love that are kind of linked through texture or they're linked through like a certain... Because the more we talk, the more we can talk about 50, 60 years of American, European music. Teddy Pendergrass, Love TKO. In my mind, if I hear that song, it completely goes nowhere. It's like a car park. There's kind of nothing. There's nothing there. But it's really reassuringly heavy.
Yeah.
And kind of maybe, again, maybe that's just... Maybe it just feels like it just kind of goes nowhere in a really reassuring way. It's just... But it's not scary, the car park. It's very solid, but there's enough room to breathe and move around. Mm. But you're kind of content. Some things are so complete within themselves that they have their own logic, and if that logic hits a certain register, you can react to it and it means something. And maybe that kind of links back to this, what we were talking about earlier on, where power in music is to do with, where power in music is guided by some weird unknown logic at that point, but there is something, there's a kind of path, it's not quite clear, but there's something set in front of it, so it has some route to move forward, but I find one of the reasons why I can't really come to the idea of this work is the lack of pauses and the lack of kind of... I can't really cope with this sort of blended stream of music where everything kind of is matched and equalised, because I can't relate to being on, like, that sort of linear trip. My emotions don't work like that. I would get more out of that kind of erratic burst of expression, and then rest and reconfigure, and then another song. If we think about original dub music, which is very much about meditating on time and expansion, expansion from this to something else, anywhere you can, with electronics or mentally or any way you can, that feels like completely the antithesis of what this kind of resolved flatland project of that kind of music has become. One of the reasons why I really love dub music, it doesn't have to be of a certain era, but like maybe I know the roots form of that music maybe a bit better, is the kind of presentation of chaos quite quickly. And it's kind of comforting and scary all at the same time.